You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We're in Athens. What a day it is. We're 1 hour down, and we've already talked to the president of the university and quite a few more. Kirby Smart, 90 minutes away, as we look forward to week 6 of the college football season. And we think our games are big here between this game and the one in College Station. Well, a year from now, the biggest game in the country is going to be two SEC schools. Right now, they're still in the Big 12. Holly Rowe at the State Fair in Texas. And Holly, it's great to see you. I don't know if you're around by getting cotton candy and corn dogs, but you are at the epicenter of college football. How are you?
I'm doing well. It is the epicenter of college football because both Oklahoma and Texas are undefeated going into this matchup. And it has just added, there's already so much hype to this game. It's just added an extra layer of hype. So it's really cool. There's a big vibe. The hotels are full. It's the highest ticket price for this game in a long time, about $500 to get in. And the only apps in Dallas that have been better or a higher ticket price have been Taylor Swift and Lionel Messi. So I'm just trying to put that out there that the hype is real if it is Taylor Swift type of hype.
I've heard of Messi. I'm not sure I'm familiar with that first name you mentioned. Holly, we had Greg Sankey on Thursday night, and even the commissioner of the SEC is dropping in on the Big 12's biggest game, and the commissioner of that league is elsewhere. And I know that has nothing to do really with what happens on the field where you deal, but it is such an ironic twist that so many people, I think, with a tinge of schadenfreude, were hoping for ill will for these two schools, and right now they're battling it out for the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, I think that the people of the Big 12 and fans of the Big 12 that have liked the status quo have been disappointed and angry and sad. But listen, this is life in college football right now, and you have to move on. And it's, what have you done for me lately? And so I do think it's really interesting. Brett Yormark is letting Greg Sankey kind of be here and take the stage as far as commissioner's appearances go. I am guessing, Paul, that next year at this time, you are going to be right here at the State Fair. So I don't know that you're a big foodie, but I do know that you've got to try some of the fried food. I think the weirdest thing I've ever tried was the fried guacamole. I was not a fan, but the fried Oreos, fried Twinkies, there's a lot of really good things you can try at the fair, but it's really bizarre because the stadium sits right here and like literally one walkway over, there's like a pony show going on and Ferris wheels and rides and cotton candy. And literally you can walk from one piece of the stadium and in 20 yards be at the State Fair. So if you've never been here, it's a bucket list item. You have to be here. It's really cool.
Holly, I'm not a foodie. No, you knew that already. But I have to ask you about fried Oreos. I mean, I know what an Oreo is. I haven't had one probably since before you were born. But what have you partaken in this alleged delicacy?
I've tried it. Yeah, I've tried it. I'm just going to say you can have one in your lifetime. Some people might try it more, but they batter it in like kind of like a cake batter, and then they fry it. And so it's like a cupcake meets an Oreo meets a deep fried something. It's weird, but it's good.
Well, I will, assuming we are there next year, and I certainly plan on it. I will have one live on the show. And if I keel over, then it's been a great career. Let me ask you about Oklahoma. You've seen Texas, I know. We saw that game a few weeks ago in Tuscaloosa. But what have you learned this week about Brett Venables' team, which we all know just got simply stomped in the spot a year ago.
Yeah, in case people forgot, it was 49-0 last year. That is not a typical Oklahoma performance in this. Oklahoma has actually dominated this rivalry lately outside of last year. Brent Venables assures us in our meetings that we had with him this week that they are better. And the defense really stacks up to that. This stat that you're seeing right here, I find it to be absolutely crazy because the record is 33 wins, 33 losses, and 3 ties. It could not get any closer than this. Oklahoma has a lot to prove this year, and Brent Venables said they are improved with personnel, they are improved with execution, and guys that know the scheme better. And we talked to their good linebacker, Danny Stutzman, and he said, you know, he's flying around to the ball. He's one of their most active defenders. And he said, it's just a simple matter of there's no hesitation with your first step because they all know the system now. And so that first step is there. They gave up a couple of long pass plays to Iowa State last week that people are concerned about, but this Oklahoma defense has been stout. They're one of the top 10 in the country in points per game allowed. So I think this is going to be a different type of ball game for sure than we saw last year from the Sooners.
And Holly, let me flip it over about Texas. I think we're all pretty familiar with Ewers and just dominating offensive and defensive lines. But I want to hit you on Steve Sarkisian, who's in the midst of truly a remarkable comeback story from where he was a couple of years ago to with a win tomorrow, you know, being on the front step of college football as we race toward the first reveal of the playoffs in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm really proud of Steve Sarkisian because he has done what other people at Texas and the coaches that have rolled through there in the last few years after Mack Brown and Charlie Strong and Tom Herman, something that they didn't necessarily commit to that Steve Sarkisian has committed to, and that's the line of scrimmage. I promise you this line of scrimmage being different for Texas is why they're winning ball games like this. They won the Alabama game because Texas's defensive front was better. Now, the thing I've got my eye on in this game, the Oklahoma offense likes to go fast. They're averaging 74 plays per game, Paul. And, you know, Jeff Lebby, their signal caller, comes from that Baylor system where it's a play every 25 seconds. They are running the fourth fastest offense in the country right now. So how does that impact Texas's defensive front that are like 6'4", 360, 6'5", 317? Does that tempo, does that pace at noon in Dallas wear out this defensive front of the Texas Longhorns? I don't think it will. They have shown that they are stout and steady, but I do think it's a factor in this game to keep your eye on.
Holly, before you go, you shared some pictures with us that we are going to show here on the screen in a moment. I'll let you describe your story, but here it is.
Okay, so this is so cool to me. Two of these little boys have lived this rivalry with their dad, legendary Oklahoma coach Bob Stoops. Well, did you know that one of these little boys has grown up to be the leading receiver of the Sooners this year? That is really cool. Drake Stoops is not just on the team, not just a legacy player. He is actually the top receiver right now for the Oklahoma Sooners. So he has grown up in this rivalry, coming to games with his dad his whole life. Here he is in the stands watching the game with his brother. And he has been such a huge part of this rivalry since really he can even remember. Here he'll have a chance to put his name in the record books on the field as one of the best receivers for the Oklahoma Sooners. So I just think that's a cool little storyline. And how about this? I got these pictures from Carol Stoops, and I love this one because they did not want their boys to do horns down. They were too respectful for that. So here are the two Sooners, the two Stoops boys, and they did not do the horns down. I really like that part of the story. But that's just kind of a cool inside scoop that I'm giving you heading into Saturday.
Well, that is fantastic. What a great story. Because so often you see players' sons on the team, and that's exactly what they do. They're the players' sons. Holly, always great. We appreciate your time greatly. We will talk to you soon, and certainly Holly Rowe tomorrow at noon for the OU-Texas game. We'll take a short break. We are live here in Athens. The head football coach, an hour and 15 minutes away. We'll talk to the athletic director coming up in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back. We are live here with Josh Brooks, the athletic director of UGA. And Josh, tough job, you know, being the athletic director here with a two-time defending national champ. So I guess there could be tougher work right now.
Yeah, no, this has obviously been a phenomenal time here at Georgia. And with the success we've had in football, it's actually led to help us success across the board in other sports. You think about a weekend like this, big game in town, Kentucky coming in, y'all here, and we have recruits. I've already met with recruits from four different sports this morning alone that are all here for the weekend, coming to the game. So it helps lift up all the other sports as well.
Josh, I'm curious about that because, you know, you get recruits coming in, and we all think sometimes about the other side of the coin, but what are they asking? What are their parents curious about? What are they curious about when you meet with them?
Yeah, you know, when you really break it down, I think the culture is the first thing that parents want to know. They want to know their sons and daughters can be cared for. And we've got a great support system here that I really take a lot of pride in. And we, you know, we're going to wow them on a visit, all of them, every sport, with facilities and photo shoots and stuff. But I always tell them, every time I meet with a group, I say, that stuff is all superficial. What you've got to think about is, where do you want to spend 365? Because the facilities, good or bad, are all going to, you're going to become used to it. Where do you feel at home? Do you feel comfortable with the coaches, the student athletes? That's where the culture and the fit, nine times out of 10, is one of the first things that they really ask and want to know about.
And I'm really interested in the other sports because football, it's hard not to be interested in Georgia from a football standpoint. But is it the same for whatever sport you're dealing with?
Yeah, and again, going back to football, the success we've had in football has led to a lot of fundraising. So just in the last couple of years, we're about to finish a new tennis indoor. We're about to start a baseball construction project. We've already started a softball construction project. So it's allowing us to do things from a facility standpoint with those other sports and really elevate those as well.
I've often heard sometimes from university presidents and other administrators about the trickle-down effect of being good, competing, and ultimately winning. I mean, at the moment, Georgia has their criticism of Georgia right now because they're not scoring enough points, they're not winning by enough, and they're two-time defending champs, 22 games in a row, and ranked number one in the country. Yeah. I mean, it's what you want, though, is it?
Yeah,
not?
I mean, that's part of that. That comes with the territory, right? But I've been in this business long enough, working at enough schools, that I never apologize for any win, and you really take them one game at a time. And winners find ways to win. And when you're not thinking about last week and you're not thinking about 2 weeks ahead, when you just think about this week, you don't get caught up in that noise, good or bad. And really, I think as a department, we've all embraced Kirby's philosophy with that, really just focusing on today. Today's Friday. What can we do to get better today? And then focus on tomorrow when tomorrow comes.
Yeah, I thought of all the coaches that we deal with. I mean, he might be the toughest one to get to think about anything other than what's directly in front of him. I know he is thinking about other things, but he won't let it out.
No, and like I said, I think that's really kind of spread throughout the whole athletic department. And I think when everyone, from the custodian to myself to anyone between, really embraces that attitude and not worry about the results, just focus on the process, we've seen results that's led success throughout the department. I mean, we had our best year in the Learfield Cup, the All Sports Cup. We were finished seventh last year, which is the highest finish in 18 years. And I think a lot of that's been just this winning mentality and culture that's kind of going throughout the department.
Josh, one of my colleagues had a tour today of the indoor, of everything, and he was literally blown away. He had never been here before. But from a facility standpoint, it seems like there's a fine line in being, you know, content with being at the best and then already worried about what do we have to do next. I mean, how do you manage that?
Well, you know that as soon as you finish your facility, no matter what it is, what sport, there's another school that's going to build something one square foot bigger or one thing newer. That's just part of it. So it's all a part of the cycle of process, and you have to have in your mind of where you want to be, because you know that as soon as you do this for tennis indoor, I've got to be thinking about what's next for volleyball or swim and dive. So you're always keeping this master list of the rotation of how it goes. But you always feel like you're behind. In that mentality, you know, it's part of chasing greatness.
Which brings me to the current moment in college athletics. You know, primarily NIL, collective, all these things that I couldn't begin to explain, but you deal with 24 hours a day. There's so much money coming in. I know at a school like Georgia, that's understandable, but does it affect all these other projects that you're working on?
To this point, it has not. We have set records 2 years in a row, and we don't beat our chest about a lot, but 2 years ago, we set a record with $86 million raised for projects, for funds across the board. This year, this last fiscal year, raised $102 million. Now, we're starting to see some of that move in the direction of collectives, things like that, but it's been strong, and a lot of that's due to the success we've had in football, which allowed us to keep building. But we do anticipate some of that money being shifted, and it may not be able to keep at that pace for long.
We talked to Commissioner Sankey last night. He said you guys just had a meeting yesterday of the ADs. When, you know, fans love to scream and holler, but when you're in a room with now 16 colleagues, what is that camaraderie like?
Yeah, I think it's pretty impressive. First of all, to be in a room with legends like Mitch Barnhart and Joe Castiglione and all these others that you have so much respect for, and we're really, you know, I know everyone thinks we're rivals, and we are, but in that room, we're trying to do what's best for NCAA, what's best for the SEC, working together. But it is some intense challenges, but we're working through it, and I think the meetings are getting better and better, and I think we're so thankful to have a commissioner like Commissioner Sankey leading the group.
And speaking of that, and I asked Greg Sankey this question about 5 weeks ago when we were together, and he answered it, and he took the blame, if that's what it is. And I think you could probably guess where I'm going. It's a schedule. I finally, my wife the other night, she said, well, how come Georgia's not? I just like threw my hand and said, let me try to explain this for the 5,000th time. You've probably done it 50,000 times. But was there, and for what I'm talking about to those five of you out there that don't know, is that Georgia was scheduled to play at Norman, Oklahoma earlier this year. And the confusing part is that Texas played at Alabama, and people don't realize that was the end of that series. Was there any other solution than just scrapping the game?
We looked at neutral site. We looked at different options, but it would have put Oklahoma in a negative situation with they needed a home game. So when you're balancing home games, and there's no situation, Georgia's not going to be a program that goes and plays a bye game somewhere else. So there's just no way to get that return with the potential that it did happen, that the conference would expand for 24. So we wouldn't have gotten a true return out of that. So it wouldn't have been fair to our program. I'm not going to ask my coach to go play a game somewhere else that's not going to get returned. So it just wouldn't be fair to our fan base, wouldn't be fair to our coaches. So that's the standing principle. And look, we looked for everything we could, and Joe was phenomenal to work with, and the conference was as well, but there was no solution. Now, again, you mentioned Texas, Alabama. That game had been played once, and then they got the return out of it. So there was no way to get both sides of that.
What's so interesting is that the return game here, I guess, would have been years down the road.
It was scheduled for 2030. And then so, but it had been part of the normal 8 or 9, depending on where the conference goes. So it wouldn't have been a true return in the sense of us going there on top of a conference.
And you did, I think you did that with Notre Dame where there was a year gap. I mean, is that just out of necessity to get these type of matchups that you can't always play them successfully?
Yeah, when we go matchups like that, it's going to always be a home and home. And we even, you know, you'd like to, something like Clemson, we'll mix in a neutral site. We're playing Clemson in Atlanta next year. 2 years ago, we played them in Charlotte. So whenever we can find a neutral site that works and makes sense, we'll do it. And look, I know we've been attacked for the schedule this year, but if you look historically, you go back the last few years, Coach Smart has played 10 Power 5 games in a number of years. We played 10 last year, including Oregon. The year before, we played 10, including Clemson. So this isn't a program that shied away from big games.
No, I'm glad you said that because they're always the naysayer from Ohio or somebody that challenges us, and it just seems like an endless story, and yeah. It may come back up again. And I've been meaning to ask you that because I haven't seen you, but I'm glad to get that explanation because it just seems like Georgia in many ways is getting a bad rap if that could be such a thing.
And we'll own it. And you know what, we've got 7 more games in front of us regular season, and we'll worry about one opponent at a time, and hopefully through that playing. And look, at the end of the day, playing the conference schedule speaks volumes enough. I think when you play eight games in the SEC with these opponents, home and away, it's gonna show your merit.
Knowing what you have, all the games you've already alluded to, what does the scheduling card look like down the road? Because some of these games are already on the books before the Oklahoma Texas expansion. Are you having to pause a little bit, not knowing how many conference games you'll be playing, or do you just keep going ahead? And
yeah, you want to keep a little room and be buffered in case it doesn't. If it expands to 9, you're going to have some games you may have to lose. So we're trying to be very careful about that fourth non-conference game, because if we go to 9, that's going to be some games we have to drop. So we're watching that very carefully. We've got some games in limbo in future years that we may have to drop if we move to 9.
And finally, does the expansion of the CFP affect your thought process moving forward?
Yeah, I think that's something we're going to have to see how it plays out. I mean, look, I'm extremely selfish, and I'm a homer for the SEC. I think our record speaks for itself. If you look at the way SEC teams have performed in the playoffs, and I know that that's frustrating for other conferences, but our record speaks for itself. And I think it's going to get, you know, debated next year when they're trying to decide on 12 teams, but hopefully it's a situation where we get as many SEC teams as possible, because I think our conference is worthy of it.
Fantastic conversation. I've been meaning to get some of that cleared up for a long time. Josh Brooks, thank you for dropping by.
Well, appreciate it.
What a pleasure. We are live in Athens. We come right back. We'll head.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We're back in Athens. Great to be here on a very busy Friday afternoon. Kirby Smart will join us in approximately 1 hour. Well, nothing like going back home again, and that speaks to our next guest, Chris Budden, who will be part of the coverage tomorrow, LSU and Mizzou. Chris, good to see you again. Seems like we are bumping into each other a couple of times this year. Before we even get to the game, it feels like the question about involves being back home. You're a Missouri graduate. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been back, probably 5 or 6 years. So a lot of the buildings around the athletic departments have changed. A lot of the J school, the journalism school places have not changed at all. But it's cool to be back with the hype that is around this football team. I went to school here from 2002 to 2006. So you're talking about Brad Smith and Chase Daniels, and the program was really good. And to see Eli Drinkwitz get it back to that level as an alumni is really awesome to watch.
And I don't want to be too short with the J school there, because in the industry we know about it, but I think it's important that people, especially in the SEC, understand how not only national but internationally renowned it is. You just don't walk in the door of the J school and get in. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, I came from Dallas, Texas, and someone just asked me a little bit ago, why'd you go to Mizzou? And my answer is because it was the number one world's journalism school in the country, and it was a place that allowed me, the broadcast program here owns the NBC station, KOMU, so it gave you an opportunity to have a resume tape the second that you left, and it's honestly the wisdom that I got, the teaching that I got, the ability to shoot and edit and produce and direct, you had to do all of it. Really got my foot in the door, and then just the degree, the learning of what true journalism is, I've relied on ever since. And you know, there's a network of people that work, you know, John Anderson is here this weekend, SportsCenter anchor, Tom Hart, who's on this network all the time. You know, we're spread out across the country, but it's honestly like this was the reason that I came to Mizzou, and it's this reason that I'm still connected to it here.
And Chris, you mentioned the broadcasting part of it. I started in the newspaper industry, and for a long time, literally everybody I worked for and with came from Missouri, but me, I was the black sheep, of course. The network, the fraternity, whatever is the best description these days, is simply about as deep as you can get. It travels, it carries, and it means something when you say that.
Yeah, we call it the Mizzou Mafia, and it's honestly one of the reasons that I got my first job is, you know, I applied to 20, 30 different stations back when you would send your VHS tape and pay $10 to give it to FedEx, and I applied at a station in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the main anchor there was a Mizzou grad, so she took my tape and walked it into the news director, and then the rest is history, and it's been other Mizzou grads since. You know, once you're at your first couple jobs, you're all kind of on the same equal playing field, but the ability to look at a bio on a website and say, this person can walk in that VHS tape so it's not sitting in a stack of all the other ones made a big difference.
A lot of young students are going, what kind of tape was that again? So let me get to the game. And there are so many questions about this game. Certainly Missouri is on fire right now, but the questions that we have had on a call-in show this week, you can pretty well guess about the LSU defense. What are you learning as you get ready for this game tomorrow morning?
Yeah, we actually had that game last week, LSU-Ole Miss. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. We aired the soundbite of Brian Kelly bringing in an 82-year-old and Pete Jenkins because he said, we don't have a D-line coach. We have to get down to tackling. I think they charted 17 missed tackles, but when they went and looked at it, it was really 34 missed tackles. And what's, I think, frustrating for that team is when you look at offensively, they're spectacular. And maybe the second best historically at LSU behind the national championship team. And are you wasting that offense by having that bad of a defense? And going into the Ole Miss game, we knew it was a secondary, right? Like that was the issue in terms of tackling, in terms of not doing your assignment. And when you look what they did, Ole Miss, with Quinshon Judkins and that defensive front with all those superstars that are on that line, and still that getting exposed has been really a big issue for them.
And just as you gather information, I don't know whether you've seen the coaches yet, but we had Brian Kelly on the other day, and I have great respect for him, but I didn't quite understand the reasoning. He explained the coach being sick, the coach moving in, not completely proficient, but it just sounded utterly bizarre for a program of that level to be having this much trouble.
Yeah, especially when you look at the names. I mean, how many of those guys are going to be top round draft picks, and Mekhi Wingo and Mason Smith and Harold Perkins Jr.? And he described it as all these guys are trying to do too much. You're doing and trying to do other people's jobs instead of just doing your own. We can be extraordinary together, but you can't be extraordinary on your own. It does kind of seem myth that like you're having a consultant come and spend a couple days with your program to teach fundamental tackling for a team that started off top five in the country. It's the interesting part of today's day and age is that you are able, with the consultant and analyst roles, allowed to bring people in, even though they can't be in the field and can't be in the coaches' boxes, to be able to teach your guys something that the guys on your current staff aren't doing.
Chris, so great to talk to you and to learn more about your experiences with Missouri. Have a great game. We certainly appreciate you making time for us. Chris Budden in Como right now. We are going to take a break as we are live in Athens, about an hour away from Kirby Smart.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock, how many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. It's always great to say hello to Chris Fowler, who we've been trying to catch up with him for a couple of weeks, but 1 week he's doing the U.S. Open, he's doing football, he's in London, I don't know what he's been doing. Chris, it's great to have you back. I imagine this has been a dizzying season so far.
This has been apropos, Paul, because I'm actually sitting in a padded room. Can you see behind me here? It's been long suggested that I should be put in a padded room. Well, I found one here in the bowels of some building on the Texas State Fairgrounds near the Cotton Bowl. So the acoustics are good, but I do feel like I should be getting some kind of therapy in here.
It looks like one of my first radio studios, except it's actually much nicer. Chris, before we even get to the game, I know you've done this before. You do it every year with in September, but juggling this many balls, how is it like to, I mean, how do you keep up with it, and especially going across the pond, so to speak?
Man, it's been different. I have not done this before, Paul. I've done some stuff where you have to multitask and get the privilege of calling two different sports. But this was U.S. Open with three big college games, including Texas, Bama, LSU, Florida State, folded within that. Then right into a few weeks of doing college and then the Monday night secondary game. So this was a unique challenge ending up in London. Had a great time over there with Dan Orlovsky, Lewis Riddick, Laura Rutledge calling the NFL game between Jacksonville and Atlanta. But now I get to focus on just one game a week. And look, the chart shows it. This is my Longhorn Sooners chart. There's a lot more filled in here than there was for the Bama-Texas game, which was game three in 10 days. So I feel really prepared, and it's kind of fun to focus on just one thing. It's been a hell of a ride, though, the last 6 weeks or so.
Well, somebody who has literally been at the tipping point and epicenter of college football for so long now, it won't be hard to describe the importance of this game when you come on the air, because I'm sure you have sat there on the game day set and in other settings with this. And it's hard to even describe for those who haven't been there.
I think that SEC fans will look in with unusual interest and excitement about this game with these teams bound for the SEC next year. They'll get a taste of what's been one of the great rivalries in the sport. This one feels really big. This one feels important. It feels like those days in the early 2000s, have been 2008, 2009, when these teams were relevant and battling for conference and national championships. And everything that happens on that stage out there tomorrow just feels weightier. It just feels more important. It feels more heightened. You know, I think that the greatness of this rivalry hopefully be on showcase. I think these are pretty evenly matched teams. Small things, small moments could have a huge impact on the outcome. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's really nothing quite like this game. I think these neutral field games, the 50-50 crowds, are endangered in the sport. There's obviously Georgia, Florida, there's Army, Navy. They're precious and they're worth protecting. And thankfully, this will continue on into the SEC era for both these schools.
Chris, you've seen Texas. Oklahoma sounds good. Everybody's saying they're a lot better, but it was still 49-0 last year. What do you know about the Sooners?
A lot of new faces since that drubbing. Venables went out and used the portal very well and got about a dozen guys who can make a difference on defense. They're still not totally where they want to be to play that vintage Oklahoma defense, and we're going to find out a lot more about that group tomorrow. but certainly the early returns are good. They still give up big plays, but they're much more athletic, much bigger and stronger than they have in recent years. It's a program, Paul, that has been searching in the wilderness for anything close to competent defense for about 6 or 7 years. Through five games, it looks much improved. They're much deeper. They're not going to wear out in the fourth quarter and get run over like they did last year, but it remains to be seen whether they're back to that level of what Venables wants them to be, because Texas will provide a serious test tomorrow. Dylan Gabriel, their quarterback, if you like Tua Tagovailoa, he's another lefty from Hawaii who spins beautiful passes. This is the biggest game of his life. The dude was at UCF, as many people will know. He's played more than 50 games in his career. This one is the biggest moment of his life. What he does on this stage was going to be very important to how he's viewed as a college quarterback, his legacy, that kind of thing. And he's got a great mindset for it. He's a dog, as the players like to say. He's a tough guy. He's a leader. He throws it brilliantly. He can run it well. So I'm interested to see whether Dylan Gabriel can outplay Quinn Ewers at the quarterback position, because I do think Oklahoma is going to need that to happen.
Chris Fowler joining us from Dallas. Chris, I'm so interested in your perspective of the whole sport of because we're not really sure what we know 5 weeks into the season, but as you look at the whole landscape, you've seen Bama play, you've seen LSU, which is clearly going the wrong way, you've seen Florida State. Who is elite right now? We're in Athens, by the way, and we're wondering about that.
Well, I mean, Georgia has fewer questions than most people. I do think they're ranked number one mainly on reputation, but that's okay. They have a great reputation. They've earned it the last couple of years. Are they the best team? They'll have a chance to prove it. We know the tests haven't arrived yet. I've seen Florida State tested and passed tests. I've seen Texas tested and they passed a big test. Of course, another one here tomorrow. I haven't seen the Big Ten teams in person. I certainly think there's a lot of strength at the top of that conference with three really high-quality teams. The Pac-12 is super deep. Will they cannibalize themselves, as they always seem to do? Next week, going to be calling a big showdown between Oregon at Washington. And I think that it would be really good to have some fresh blood. I mean, the SEC is going to be represented. I always believe that. Maybe not by more than one team this year. But I looked at the odds to win the championship this week, Paul, and it's really compelling. I mean, Georgia's basically 3-1 to win, and that's the shortest price. But there's a whole bunch of teams kind of grouped together that Vegas thinks have pretty equal chances to win the championship. And that means when you talk about the four playoff spots, there's a whole bunch of teams beyond that of a chance to get in. So I think it has a chance because of more balance of being a really great second half of the season and stretch run.
Chris, I'm deep into this interview, and this might be the first time since August that I haven't asked a guest a question that didn't involve Colorado and Coach Prime. It's a school you know a great deal about. Chris Fowler putting a tweet out earlier in the year talking about his pride in seeing his team, the Buffs, do so well. Put this one into perspective from someone who knows the terrain better than all of us.
That was post TCU. I am still proud, a little bit less euphoric, no longer speechless. Look, a lot has happened since that game. They had great success against two rivals, and they got humiliated and humbled in Eugene, and you know, outplayed early and then showed a lot of heart against USC. Now comes a part of the schedule where fewer people will be watching, but the game is going to be very important for their season. Road game against Arizona State, slight favorite. Look, this is still a work in progress. And as Deion said, you better get him now because it's the worst he's going to be. There is help on the way in all the areas where he knows they need help. Offensive line, defensive speed and depth. And they are going to continue to grow and get better. If Shedeur Sanders comes back next season and they're going into the Big 12, it's a more manageable schedule than what the Pac-12 offers up this year. I think there's a great chance to see him take another leap forward. There's plenty to be gained this season, though. It's fun, Paul, to have them relevant. They're by far the most watched football team on television through five games. Think about that, what that means alone, you know, with all kinds of celebrities showing up on the sidelines wanting to be part of the vibe. I mean, you can say that that has nothing to do with wins and losses, but I disagree. It has everything to do with energy and momentum. And it's fun to see the Buffs in that place. I don't think the two losses have crushed it, If anybody thought they were going to make the playoff and be 13-0, they're clueless. But it's still fun. There's still a lot more for this team to prove. They'll be getting Saturday night down in Arizona.
And I'm so intrigued by how he has transcended sports. And we only have about a minute left, so this is somewhat unfair. But I saw today, Deion's on the cover of Time magazine. Number one, I'm really glad to know Time magazine's still alive. But that used to be, in my youth, the biggest thing in the world. Bruce Springsteen was discovered on the cover of Time magazine in the mid-70s. Talk for the remaining seconds about how he has really changed the face of college football.
Yeah, I mean, he's brought people into the tent that weren't there before. He's brought fans in to watch Colorado that didn't watch college football games. And I saw this in the spring. It's an incredibly diverse fan base. People that had never been to the state had come there to watch a spring scrimmage because Deion Sanders was involved. They're watching on TV in huge numbers. I think the black community has very much embraced Deion as a symbol of someone who came from HBCUs and it didn't change his personality, didn't rework how he did everything, how he acted, how he behaved, and took it to a high level, and has been seen as someone who's a tremendously dynamic, exciting force in the sport. And I think you're seeing that in big numbers, and I hope that it'll continue.
Chris, so glad to have you back. Next week, we'll revisit your battle with Burt Reynolds. So great to have you, Chris Fowler, joining us from Dallas. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.